God and loving Father, we thank Thee for an opportunity this morning to have Thy Word open before us and to have words like this on our lips that would bring fresh thoughts of Calvary and what the Lord Jesus did for us there before us. And may it well draw a response from our hearts. Together this morning, we would give Thee thanks and praise for Calvary's cross. If there is one here this morning that has not yet come into the good of the work of that cross, has not yet found the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the all-sufficient One, to take care of the sin question for them, that this morning they would put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus and be saved. We give Thee thanks and praise, ask for Thy help, so we would open Thy Word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now I know this is a Sunday school this morning. It's not a normal Sunday school. We have lots of age groups here, and knowing the head count of each group, children, young people, and adults, I thought that perhaps the Lord brought before me something that wouldn't be like a regular Sunday school, but more a message for everyone, and myself included. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel chapter 3, in the middle of verse 9, it says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Now let's turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And verse 9. "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," the Lord Jesus said. What do you think I have on my heart to talk about this morning? Hearing? Listening? Yes, in a way. You know, we were going to be here at these meetings, Lord willing, and enjoy the time together. But the real purpose of this time together is to hear the Word of God, isn't it? Now, there is a person's name in the Bible, and the definition of their name means to hear the Word of God. That's what their name means, to hear the Word of God. And it doesn't only imply just by the ear, but the best definition of it is James chapter 1. And verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, Yes, there is a name in the Bible that means that. That is the best definition for the meaning of that name in God's Word right there. To be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Uniquely enough, it is the name that is used more than any other name in the entire Word of God. There are more people in the Word of God with that name than any other name. And I started writing down those names and looking at the lessons of life that were taught from each one of them that had that name, all the same name. And it got so much for me that I didn't know if I could cover it in 45 minutes. So I wrote a bunch of things down, and with the Lord's help, we'll highlight on some things that He would bring before us as importance. One of the books of the Bible, start out with that man's name. It's a man's name. I gave part of it away right there. Does anybody know what that name is? The most popular name in the Bible. Nobody else named more, the use of that name used more than anybody else for that name. Who knows? Somebody's got to guess. The Lord, that's a wonderful name, isn't it? But you know, there's only one person that we know that is the Lord, and that's wonderful, isn't it? I hope everybody knows the Lord. The name is Simon. There are more people in the Bible named Simon than any other name. It means to hear, to listen, and to put into practice what we hear. So, for the children this morning, we're going to do a little game together. You ever play Simon Says? Okay, this game is not going to be Simon Says, though. It's going to be almost like it, but Simon Says is not really what the name Simon means. We're going to say Simon hears and Simon does. And we're going to see if these people that we look at named Simon in the Bible, if they really hear or if they really do. Okay, now the first one we're going to look at, he was a brother of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God says it was his brother, so I believe that we can say that as well. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Now let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 7. John chapter 7, and let's read together a sad verse, verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. At this time, his brethren did not believe in him. What does this bring to our minds? Here's the Lord Jesus growing up in a family. In that family, there was a mom and a dad, Lord Jesus. Of course, he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. So these were his half-brothers and half-sisters. But he had four brothers and two sisters, just the opposite of our family. We had five girls and two boys. The Lord Jesus, in his family, he grew up and there was five boys and at least two sisters, plural. We don't know. He might have had more than two sisters, but it was at least two sisters that the Lord Jesus had. And here the Lord Jesus was in this family, and his siblings, they did not believe on him. I wonder, you know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord Jesus lives within your heart. And if your mom and dad know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and some of your brothers and sisters do too, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you live in the same house they do, you're just like the brothers of the Lord Jesus. That's a sad verse, isn't it? Neither did his brothers believe on him. Oh, that's sad. Well, was the Lord Jesus true? Was he who he said he was? Did he really come to do the Father's will? Was he really the sent one of God? Yes, he was, wasn't he? Well, I hope that every boy and girl here wasn't like that Simon. Now let's do our little Simon. Here's Simon says, do you think that that Simon wanted to do and hear the word of God? Neither did he believe. Is that hearing and doing the word of God? No. Nope, it's not, is it? That Simon, I hope there's no one else in this room like that Simon. Now let's look at another Simon, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, this Simon had leprosy. And let's get some more of this story, some more details of it, by going to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 38, we're going to read about this woman that was at the same house that the leper was. We read in verse 36 that this leper was a Pharisee, good man on the outside. But in verse 38 it says, and she, that is this woman that came in, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and washed his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which was bidden saw it, he spake within himself, saying, if this man were a prophet, would have known who this and what manner of woman this that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my head with oil. Verse 48, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. This Simon, Simon hears, Simon does. Did this Simon hear and do the word of the Lord? Did he want to hear and obey the word of the Lord? No, he didn't. That's what his name means. But no, he didn't want to hear and do and obey the word of the Lord. There were probably a lot of people at that house that day. But there were two people that the Spirit of God wanted us to know about that were in that house. This woman that came with very precious ointment and anointed the Lord Jesus' head with that ointment and then washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. That's one of the people. The other person is a man who owned the house. He was a Pharisee, good looking on the outside and everything as far as his behavior went. He was just top of the line. He had leprosy. And he was criticizing this woman for what she had done. Two kinds of people in that house. They both had problems. They both had problems. But you know, the woman, her heart was attracted to the Lord Jesus. Do you guys know what a magnet is? What's a magnet? What does a magnet do?
It attracts magnetic metal.
That's right. I have a magnet right here. I wonder if we go stick it on your chair, what it'll do. Let's see what your chair is made out of. That's a strong magnet. That's a really strong magnet. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a magnet that strong. I have a lot of strong magnets. We use them where I work. This is one that the cover broke off of. And I use it for other things now. But I have something else in my hand, and it's also metal. Why won't it pick that up? It's a kind of metal. Why won't it pick that up?
It's made
out of the wrong stuff, isn't it? It's made out of the wrong stuff. And I'm going to say something that's the truth. If your heart is not attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're made out of the wrong stuff. If the Lord Jesus doesn't grip your heart's affections in some way, you are not saved. I mean, in some way. I know that a believer can get away from the Lord and the Lord tugs at their heart, but that's evidence that they're saved, because the Lord in His love will touch something in there. And there's something in everybody who knows Christ as their Savior that will respond in some measure to the love of the Lord Jesus. If I use a little paper clip and come down. You ever see a paperclip jump that high? There's something that responds to the magnet. You know, if we stay away, I have a washer here that's pretty strong too. If we stay away from the Lord and His love, we're not going to feel that love. We're not going to feel that closeness. It's only as we draw near to Him that it will influence us. And it's the magnetic field, you might say, is a good illustration of how the Lord Jesus captivates our hearts and holds us that way. These two people were like the contrast between aluminum and steel in the presence of the Lord Jesus. You know, we can't blame our problems on our relationship with the Lord. We can't say, you know, I have so many problems that it hinders my walk with the Lord. It's a heart issue. You know, maybe some of you have heard of these people that I'm going to mention who have problems. Okay? There's a man named Nick. He was born in Australia. And does anybody know what is wrong with Nick? His name is Nick. It's spelled V-U-J-I-C-I-C. I can't pronounce it. He's born in Australia. Nick has no arms and legs. He was born that way, naturally. Has anybody ever heard of Nick? Okay, there's some hands going up. Nick is an amazing man. You know, as far as last year, Nick has led more than 200,000 souls to Christ through his witness and his testimony. He's a motivational speaker. He has no arms and legs. You think he has problems? When he was 8 years old, he wanted to commit suicide because of the way kids made fun of him. And kids picked on him all the time because he had no arms and legs. And he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And now he speaks in front of huge crowds and tells people of the love of the Lord Jesus. If he was here this morning, we would have to lift him up and set him up here. And he would hop along on his stump up here to preach. But he's got a head just like mine, just like yours. And he loves the Lord Jesus, and he loves souls, and he loves to lead people to the Lord Jesus. I've heard of another lady. Now, she would be about the same age as this Nick. Her name is Lizzie. Lizzie has a rare skin disease that only 3 people in the world have, and her skin looks like leather or rubber. And poor Lizzie. When Lizzie was in high school, she found, I believe it was on a YouTube video, an 8-second video where there was no sounds. It was of her calling her the ugliest person in the world. And underneath that 8-second video, there was more than 4 million comments of people making fun of her, telling her things that were very, very unkind. From what I understand, you know what Lizzie does today? She's a motivational speaker. She goes around and she speaks to crowds and she tells them of the love of the Lord Jesus. Sound like a physical problem or a heart problem that was in this house here? Let me tell you, about the time our oldest daughter was born, up in Minnesota, there was also 2 girls born, and their names were Abby and Brittany. You know who I'm talking about? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Abby and Brittany are twins. You know what kind of twins they are? Have you ever heard of Siamese twins? Two people. If you saw them from shoulders up, they would look. 2 girls standing next to each other. Right here. Below their neck, they share the same arms, they share the same legs, and everything else. They have their own heart, they have their own lungs. Right now, I believe they run a babysitting business. The kids love them. When they were growing up, they were made fun of. 2 people in the same body. Think they had problems? Lots of problems. From what I know, those girls, both of them in the same body, both of them consciously love the Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? If one of them passes away, the other one will too. But they both love the Lord Jesus. Think of that. Do I think I have problems? No, I don't have problems, unless it's a heart problem. There isn't anybody in this room that has no arms or legs, that shares a human body with somebody else, or would be labeled the ugliest person in the world. No. You know, the Lord Jesus loves every one of us the same, doesn't He? They were in the same house with the Lord Jesus. They shared the same meal with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was their same guest. One of them that was at that house didn't provide any water for the Lord Jesus. The other one didn't cease, and it appears by what is written here that she was still weeping and washing His hair with her feet when He was talking. And the other one gave no kiss. She was still kissing His feet. What have we done for the Lord Jesus? You know, to follow here, we'll sit down to remember the Lord Jesus. Will our hearts be flowing in worship and praise to Him for what He has done, or will we be indifferent as we all sit together in the presence of the Lord Jesus? Let's look at another Simon. John's Gospel, chapter 6. in verse 71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Who was Judas Iscariot? He was one of the Lord's disciples. Later it says in the verse, for he it is that should betray him. This man spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus. And he betrayed the Lord Jesus with 30 pieces of silver. He was the one who permitted the way or opened the way for the Lord Jesus to go to the cross and sold the Lord Jesus. Today's money, that would be worth $950. But if you take that money and translate it back then, it would be worth $250,000 American dollars at this time. What could you buy with $250,000? And Judas probably thought, you know what, I'll get that money and the Lord will just vanish out of their hands and I'll have the money and I'll be gone. Be just fine. He'll be fine. I'll be fine. In today's world, we say, I buy a house, a nice new car, and everything I want. Simon says, Simon does, Simon hears, Simon does. Did this Simon hear and love the Lord Jesus? No. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Isn't that sad? Well, I have some other Simons written down here. Let's look in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people. The end of the verse. He gave out that himself was some great one. This Simon wanted self-focus. Is that like Simon who wants to hear and obey the Lord? No. And our time is getting away from us if we're going to cover any more Simons. So I'll just tell you what this Simon did. This Simon wanted to buy his way to give people the gift of the Holy Ghost so that other people would think that he was special because he could give them the Holy Ghost. What is that? Self-interest. Simon hears, Simon does. Does that Simon sound like he wants to hear and do the Lord's will and the Lord's word? No. See, there's lots of Simons in the Bible that did not want to hear and do the Lord's will, but they had the name. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that has the name on the outside, but inside, oh, there's not reality. Now let's look at some good Simons, some Simons to encourage us, because it is sad to know, and I hope there's nobody like these Simons that we first looked at, and if there are any Simons like that in this room here this morning, that the glory of God would come before you in such a way that you would see your need of the Savior and be saved. Let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 2. It says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. And then it gives a list of names. The one I want to look at right now is in verse 4. Simon the Canaanite. And let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 15. Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes. Same man as Simon the Canaanite. Had two names. He was called the Canaanite and Zelotes. How instructive. Who were the Canaanites? They were idolaters that the children of Israel were to drive out. Their lives were noted by the idol worship that they had. And they were to drive out the idols, get rid of them. And here this man was named, he was of those, the Canaanites, but now he was also called Simon Zelotes. What does that mean? It's the same word as a zealot, or somebody who was fervent for what they believed and what they did. And they did what they heard. Isn't that wonderful? He practiced what he believed in. He wasn't fake about it. But he was once noted as, from a nationality, it was noted as of terrible, terrible idolatry, and the things that they did in their idol worship was awful. You can read about it in the Old Testament of the offering of their children on the altars and things like that. Terrible. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonians chapter 1 and the middle of verse 9 says, "Ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven." That's a verse that reminds us of this Simon. He turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. What is an idol? What's an idol? Is anybody... Okay, go ahead.
It's something that you worship.
It's something that you worship. Who's in English class right now? Raise your hand. Whoever's taking English. Anybody in English class? Oh, I mean, I know you're not in school right now, but... Okay. Who knows what a noun is? What's a noun?
Person, place, or thing.
A person, place, or thing. Most nouns can be idols. Be careful of nouns. Most nouns can be idols. Anything can take the place. A person, place, or thing can take the place of the Lord Jesus in our hearts. That's the lesson we should learn from this wonderful disciple. Where I worked, there was a man, his name was Jerry, and he liked this man named Mark Martin, who was a race car driver, and he was always talking about Mark Martin, and one day I came into his work area, and he was just all over me about Mark Martin, and I looked him right in the eye, and I said, "Jerry, did Mark Martin die on the cross for your sins?" It led to that man's salvation. Is there any... thing, person, place, or thing that's taking the place, the rightful place of the Lord Jesus in our heart? It could be anything. It could be a toy. It could be a vehicle, a house, a particular singer or a group of singers. Somebody who can really play an instrument well or do some sports activity very well that we idolize. They're taking the place of the Lord Jesus in our heart, if that is so. The rightful place that belongs to Him. "Have I an object, Lord, below, that would divide my heart with Thee? In answer to its even flow." How does it go? "In answer to Thy constancy. Oh, teach me quickly to return, and cause my heart afresh to burn." The last part of it says, "that I may undistracted be to follow, serve, and wait for Thee." The Lord help us.